This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, As You Think, So You Are.
So how you face trouble, how you face temptation, how you face stress, how you face your own emotions determines how you're going to experience getting through this moment. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have within you the potential for a new set of attitudes. And Ephesians 4, 22 and 23 says it this way, put off concerning the former conversation, that's your behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And here it is, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what God is saying here is, I want to give you a mind makeover. So many people want a facial makeover. I think by the time they're through, they're going from head to toe, don't you? Between the hair and the feet and who knows whatever else. So God wants to give you a mindset makeover. He wants to replace that old stinking thinking, that old negative attitude with a spirit of love and joy and patience and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and hope. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new. All things become new. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a whole bunch of new things in our life that can refocus us and recenter us and challenge our mindset. Let me share some of the things that are new in your life. Number one, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have a new role model. It's no longer John Wayne. For those of you who know John Wayne, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our eyes are fixed on him. We want to model ourselves after him. Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. In other words, if he wasn't looking like Jesus, if he wasn't sounding like Jesus, if he wasn't interrelating with people like Jesus, put him to the side. He doesn't have much to say. We want to follow Christ. We want to follow that role model that he has set down for us. How to deal with other people. How to see ourselves. How to see the world. How to treat people. How to behave when we're by ourselves. And how you behave by yourself is the definition of character. He wants to build character in you and in me. We have a new role model. Follow Jesus. Well, the only way you're going to follow Jesus is to know about Jesus. And the only way you're going to know about Jesus and how he handles life and how he handles tragedy and how he handles circumstances is to get into the book. And if you're not in the book, you'll never know how Jesus would have you to handle things. Secondly, we have a new mission. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. Your mission and my mission, if we choose to accept it, is to tell the people in our life what Jesus has done in our life. It's not to be quiet because the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus. It's not to be silent. It's an opportunity for us to raise our voice and speak to the culture and speak to the people in our lives who don't know Christ as Savior. This is an opportunity not for you to become a theologian. Some people think the only way I'll ever be able to talk to people about Jesus is when I know everything in the Bible. Well, if you're waiting for that day, forget about it. I've been studying God's Word since I've been 15. You know how old I am. And I don't have it yet. So if you're waiting for that day to come when you know it all in the Bible, you can forget that. All Jesus wants you to do is tell the people in your life what he's done in your life to make the difference. How you've become that person of compassion. How you've become that person with a passion to even speak to them about Jesus. How you become the caring person you are when you give a phone call or bring a meal or make a visit or write a card or do some other kind act, a recognition of appreciation. Why are you like that? It's because of what Jesus has done in my life. And that's what God wants you to take opportunities. When people ask you why you're the way you are, why do you bother going to church? You know what regular attendance is considered according to Pew Research these days? A person who regularly attends church is now considered, I just read this the other day, is now a person who comes to church at least once a month. That's considered regular attendance. Thirdly, we have a new hope and a new home. John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. As your pastor, I've been involved with a number of funerals, even over the last several months. And I can tell you there's a difference between seeing somebody in that coffin who never knew Christ as Savior and one who did. I can tell you there is a different attitude on the part of the people sitting, viewing the casket, who have loved that person and known that person, befriended that person, been married to that person, been a child of that person. When they look and say, my mom, my dad, my husband, my wife, my child, is going home to heaven. And one day I will see her, I will see him again. What does that do? I mean, what does the atheist have to offer? Memories. Well, we have a lot more than memories, don't we? As believers in Jesus Christ, we have an assurance. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is a life changer. If we really believe that, it changes how we live because it changes how we're going to die. Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, was asked, you know, why his people were so fervent. And he answered, because they die well. They know where they're going when this page turns. Wouldn't you like to have that assurance that the person you love the most right now, if they were to die, would be home in heaven, waiting for you? New hope, a new home. Lastly, we have a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Stone or flesh? Some people have a very hard heart. Some people are always looking for the downside, always looking for the negative, always looking to find fault, always being a nitpicker. They just have a hard heart. And they say, this is who I am, this is the way I am, and nothing will ever change it. Excuse me, I just read a promise. God says if you're willing, over time, you'll be surprised what I can do with that heart. I mean, I know from my own experience of having a very bad temper when I was a young man. Don't ever cut me off when I was 20 years old. I'd chase you all the way down the Long Island Expressway until I got hold of you. That's not good. But what changed that man? I'll tell you, over time, giving in to Jesus and saying, not my will, but thy will. Not my way, but your way. It's possible to have a new heart. You put all of those things together, and then you can sing with the hymn writer who said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Think of this transforming, life-changing, attitude-adjusting truth. You have Jesus in your heart. If you invited him into your heart and life, that truth changes everything. Somebody is living inside you. And it's not just you. You know, the real you is not out here. The real you is here, looking out. It's in here, looking out. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's somebody else in there. And that is the Holy Spirit. He's in here with you. Now, if you grab that and you hold on to that, you recognize that and you believe that, you realize you can't go anywhere without God. You realize that He knows the secrets of your heart. You recognize the fact that He knows your pain, He knows your suffering, not out here, but in here. He knows that beyond the mask, there is a life going on behind you. And He knows that when you need Him, He'll be there for you. He's in there. God is holding you in the palm of His hand. And He promises to never let you go. Turn with me in your Bibles or up here on PowerPoint, Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Let's stand together and read it together. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. These are beautiful. It's a beautiful verses, and they mean so much. Psalm 139, 7 to 12. Ready? Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Please be seated. What's the impact on your thinking if you recognize in the deepest recesses of your mind that there is nothing you will ever face in this life that you will have to face alone? In other words, there's no height you can go to and no depth you can plunge to that God's not going to be there. What does that feel like if you really, really believe it? So many people face loneliness. So many people face despair. So many people are hurting today. Loneliness is a big problem in our society and in our culture. The Bible says that God has gifted lonely people with families. You say, Pastor, I don't have much of a family. Most of my family is gone. You have us. God's gifted us to you. He's gifted you to us. But above all other things, He's gifted you with the Holy Spirit. What's the effect on one's attitude to know that when circumstances flood your life that have the potential to bring you under and keep you under? When it feels like your life is flooded, God will hold your head above water. He won't let you go under. Christ can bring courage under fire and shelter in the time of the storm. It is so difficult for us when we face really difficult times, really tumultuous times, really mind-tormenting moments, when all we are focused on is that thing. Well, there is a way to displace that thing with another reality. And that other reality is that God's here to help you. That you're not going through this thing all by yourself. Now, it's wonderful to have a counselor. It's wonderful to have a friend. And the Bible says that He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That He's there with you. Psalm 37, 24 says this, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Look at that verse. Put your name in where the pronouns are. In other words, though Bob falls, Bob shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds Bob with His hand. Put your name there. That's a promise. That's a contract. The Bible says that God says, I'm not a man that I can lie. So when He puts His name to a contract, it's never going to be torn up. You can't get away from that promise. that no matter how desperate situations are in your life at a particular moment and under that circumstance, you're going to get through that. God's going to get you through. Now, every person in this room has had a circumstance like that. Amen? You're here. You've made it, or you're making it. It's not easy. I'm not one to change the Bible, and I wouldn't do that. But sometimes it's wonderful to put your name where the pronouns are and just make it personal. Our new attitude then becomes knowing and having confidence that we have all we need of God's grace to get through today. You claim that promise. You bank it. When time comes, make a promise withdrawal. These promises are like, quote unquote, money in the bank. You've got $100 million in the bank. It's just sitting there, but you never fill out a withdrawal slip. What are you, nuts? You've got all of these promises in your spiritual bank, and you've never claimed them. What's wrong? That hope will prevail when there seems to be no hope. See, that's the problem when we get into tough times. The only thing that's our focus is that thing. But I want to say, you can displace that thing with a better thing. And that's that, God, this too shall pass. I know this has got a load limit, and I know this has got a time limit, and I know that if I hang on to you, we're going to get through this together. The Bible tells us that Christ will enable us to endure hardship. He will give us grace under fire, which is the definition of courage. You can have courage when you're under fire. The Christian's most prominent attitude in life is gratitude. Gratitude. The hardest arithmetic to master is the one which enables us to count our blessings. That's a real difficult arithmetic. Because so many times we are people who basically look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. We can't seem to make the lists work together. This is what God's given me, and this is what I'm currently dealing with. What an attitude adjustment it would be if we were grateful for what we have and not moan about what we don't have. What an attitude adjustment it would be if we were to learn the lesson of 1 Timothy 6 and 7. And it says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. People talk about living in the moment. You know, God wants you to live the moment. But you, how are you living the moment? With a fabisna punim. Like a mashugana. How are you living the moment? Let's look at those words the way and ask ourselves each and every day, how am I going to face today and what will my attitude be? There's a wonderful little illustration and it says like this. Today, I can complain because the weather is rainy. We've had quite a bit of that. Or I can be thankful that the grass is getting watered for free. I guess that works even more out in California where you have to pay for watering your grass. Today I can feel sad that I don't have more money, or I can be glad that my finances encourage me to plan my purchases wisely and guide me away from waste. See, it's a matter of perspective and attitude. Today I can grumble about my health, or I can rejoice that I'm alive. Today I can lament over all that my parents didn't give me when I was growing up, or I can feel grateful that they allowed me to be born. Somebody? Amen, somebody? Today we have choices, you know. Today I can cry because roses have thorns. Or maybe I can celebrate that thorns have roses. Today I can mourn my lack of friends, or I can excitingly embark on a quest to discover new relationships. Today I can whine because I have to go to work, or I can shout for joy because I have a job to go to. Oh, right. Today I complain. I can complain because I have to go to school. Or I can eagerly open my mind and fill it with rich new bits of knowledge. I have to admit, I did complain about going to school. I wasn't thinking about wonderful things of knowledge. Today I can murmur dejectedly because I have to do housework, or I can feel honored because the Lord has provided me shelter for my mind, body, and soul. Today stretches ahead of me, waiting to be shaped. Here I am, the sculptor who gets to do the shaping. What today is like is up to me. I get to choose what kind of a day I'm going to have. It all starts here. Your attitude can make you sick. How you think can make you sick, or it can give you health and contribute to your health. A renewed attitude, a renewed mind, a positive mind, a hopeful mind, a happy mind, and an attitude of gratitude is good for your soul. It's good for your heart. It's good for your mind. And above all, it's good for your face. How beautiful you look when you smile. As a little song says, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. The truth is your attitude, the way you think, really, really makes a difference in how you live. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we learn, as we walk, as we crawl, as we do our very best with your help. Let's live better. Let's live better.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.